The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
Good morning, good morning. Ain't it a great morning outside? I mean, it is a pretty, pretty day. A little chilly, but hey, it's December. No, it's January, February, whatever. Here we are towards the end of January. We're going to be talking about gardening for the next hour or so. Hey, you've tuned in to Gestalt Gardener here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. I'm your host, horticulturist Felder Rushing, and our producer is an awesome Java Chapman. We're going to have fun getting dirty for the next hour or so. I'm going to give a shout out to folks who listen by way of podcasts from all over the country, but it's a southern thing. You know, we talk about and care for pretty much everything the same way. We approach it a little differently. So we got some live music, really cheese music coming up in about 30 minutes. Got some emails, some announcements about things that are going to be going on, but mostly it's a live program, folks. So sit back, relax. We're going to take some news before we come back and take your live calls about what's going on or not in your garden. We'll be right back.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Me and Job have been having whooping it up in the other studio. Hey, we're going to be talking about gardening for the next hour or so. And I know it's cold out there for a lot of folks, but it's sunny. Had to scrape the window. I went to my local coffee shop this morning, grab some coffee. Had to scrape the windscreen on my pickup truck because it was frosted over completely. But by the time I got to the end of the block, the sun had melted it all off. And it was just cold enough from where I wanted to walk with some coffee, so I parked about halfway. And on this side of the interstate, walked the last nearly mile or so, I guess, in through the woods and stuff, and saw some stuff, heard some stuff. It's really interesting listening to frost. As it melts, it turns into water and drips in the forest floor. I thought that was kind of interesting. Anyway, for the next hour or so, we're going to be talking about gardening. And it's your program. If you want to give us a call, it's your party. It's a party. And if you want to give us a call and chat about stuff that's going on or things you're thinking about or concerned about or somebody told you about and you're not sure about, give us a call. It's toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING, 1-877. That means it's toll-free, MPB-RING. We're going to be talking about nothing but gardening for the next hour or so. I got a tune coming up in about 30 minutes in Java. I believe this is the first time, and you're a musician, you're a DJ, and I think the first time I've seen you speechless before about the tunes.
But this one coming up in about 20-30 minutes is something I've never heard before, and I was thoroughly surprised.
Well, I'll give you a hint. It's one of my walking tunes. When I first started walking, though, when my son went to the Marines, I started doing some walking, and I decided I needed to start out with slow stuff like military marches and country music and stuff like that. But I found out that you got to really pump it up, and so I listened to stuff with a little bit faster beat now. And this is one I've been listening to for, maybe 15 or 20 years now, a long time that I walked to. Anyway, hey, there's some things going on this morning. If you want to give us a call, we're wide open. We'll stop whatever we're doing to chat with you about your garden. 1-877-MPB-RING. Let me see. There's an event that just came up. I just found out about it right before I came up here. Let me see. I wrote it down here. Here we go. The Oxford Community Garden. Cool little place. I've been by there many, many, many times. They're going to have their annual meeting this coming Monday. It's open for the public. I don't see what time it is. I'd imagine it's going to be after work. I don't know. I'm going to have to find that out. It wasn't in the email. But anyway, they're having an annual meeting Monday. It's open to the public. Everybody's welcome. This is when you get a chance to renew your plot. They accept new members, and they've got new plots open if anybody's interested. Meet new garden members and generally feel good, get relieved that spring's just around the corner. Again, they've got plots available this year, but if you want to just swing by and see how a community garden that works, come out and see what the garden's all about. A couple of other things going on coming up real soon. Nothing that can't wait till after we get through talking, though, because we've got Bill from Brookhaven. Hey, Bill, what's up? Hello? Is that you, Bill? Okay, not ready yet. I'm not. See, you got this new system in here, and I'm scared to push buttons in my bifocals are telling me what not to do. So you're going to have to tell me what to do.
Yeah, we still getting them queued up. Everybody called in.
I was too quick.
Yeah, you were fast with it. Fast.
Okay. Listen to those phones. I wish it was like that. Well, it is like this for drive time. That's what we like. Let me just throw out a couple of things. Coming up in January the 27th, there's going to be Sunday, the Oxford Herbalist Guild is going to have a winter wellness workshop. They're going to be talking about infusing health and warmth in the winter. But it's going to be Sunday, January 27th, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. It's going to be the Treehouse Gallery there in Oxford. It costs $45, but it's a three-hour workshop with all sorts of stuff going on. And also, there's going to be a pruning thing February the 2nd, the annual pruning party, Historic Greenwood Cemetery, downtown Jackson, just north of the state capitol, about a half a block. They've got one of the most awesome 1820s old cemetery, and they're going to be talking about roses, pruning, and showing people how to root roses and all the cuttings you want to take. By the way, I rooted some roses this past week. Can I go to any calls yet?
Now we're ready. You hear the phone still going, yeah. But let's go ahead and talk with Bill in Brookhaven.
Okay. Hey, Bill. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, Felder. I'm president of the Brookhaven Camellia Society. I want to let people know that we're having our annual Camellia Show down here on February the 2nd.
February the 2nd. I want to write that one down. February the 2nd. You need to send me. Oh, no, I'm taking notes about it. Where's it going to be?
It's going to be the new venue, Felder. It's going to be at the new event center at the Homestead at Brookhaven Nurseries. That's at 946. Highway 51 South, just south of Brookhaven. You've probably been out there before over the years. That's where Frank Burns had his nursery for so.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. It's been a while since I've been there, though. Well, that's really cool. Also, send me an email so I can make sure that I hit it a little bit harder next week.
Okay.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you,
thank you so much. Okay.
Okay, now, Java, here's the deal. You've got all this fancy new equipment, and it's good equipment, but up there is a little too far from my distance glasses. Down here is right at my bifocal line, so I'm not going to touch anything, but it looks like we've got Ruth calling from Natchez. How am I doing? Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Ruth, good morning.
Good morning. I have some large Leland cypress. Uh-huh. That were doing fine, and by large, I mean about 8 or 9 feet tall.
Right.
And there were three of them in a row, and they are dying one at a time.
Right.
Out of the blue.
Right.
I've looked. I can't see any kind of insect or pest, but something's happening.
Well, and unfortunately, I know what's happening, and unfortunately, it's something that's so common that when I was studying plants for landscapes called plant materials back at Mississippi State in the 1970s, I was taught about this. Leland cypresses are a hybrid between a plant that's native to the cool coastal climate of California, and the other parent is from Alaska, and they don't like hot, humid, dry summers. What happens is they get real wet in the wintertime, the roots do, and in the summertime when it's dry, they start getting root diseases, and also they suffer from the long, hot, humid summer nights, and it overwhelms their roots. And a lot of times they start dying a branch or two at a time, but sometimes whole plants just seem to go down within a year or two from root problems. Just because they're pretty, they're fast, but and by the way, where they're native to, they get 80 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, the matter of fact, they're considered kind of weedy in England. They're used as hedges, and they're considered kind of weedy because they get so big. But they just don't like our climate. They're pretty, but they're what I call short-term plants, 20, 30 years, something like that.
Okay. Well, these were nowhere near that old, but they just you just go out there in the morning and they're all turning bright.
I know. Unfortunately, you know, like I say, I was taught this about them in college decades ago. This real predictable. And they're real pretty, though. They're popular and they're fast. So, you know, that's unfortunate. That's a lot of popular plants have these kind of problems. We don't find out until they get just like we want them.
And there's really nothing to do.
Not really, not really. If you still have one that's doing okay in the summer when it's really hot and really really dry, let's say 3 or 4 weeks, give it a good soaking every 3 or 4 weeks, but not more than that. Too much water is actually more. But they don't like long hot dry spells after a wet cool winter.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. That's sorry about that.
Okay.
See ya. Bad news, sad news, I should say. Let's go to Madison and talk with George. Hey, George, how are you?
Morning, Felder.
Hey.
I got a couple questions if you got time, but I understand if you don't.
Well, let's jump on it.
I was out this past week in my strawberry patch. I grow them similar to like the commercial way, but instead of through plastic, I grow them through landscape fabric.
Uh-huh.
And I always have, you know, a small problem with fire ants building mounds up through the holes where the strawberry plants are.
Oh, they love that warm, the warmth that the landscape fabric creates.
Exactly. And I noticed as I was out there, I didn't have any mounds, but I had just some fire ants under the fabric.
Oh, it's going to be a fabric-shaped rectangular fire ant mound under there.
I didn't know if I should worry about that. Would they hurt the plants, or are they like just kind of okay under the fabric?
They're kind of okay, but I don't know if fire ants will eat strawberries when they start ripening or not, because they go more for oily stuff. But
I thought they might help with the bugs. You know, they might eat slugs or beetles or something like that.
Oh, they'll do that. You know, but it's making my knuckles itch just thinking about them. Thinking about picking the strawberries. They can aerate the soil. The problem is they can over aerate the soil right around those roots. So you may need to water a little bit more often. You know, that's just a mechanical thing. Is they physically aerate the soil almost too much. Because you know they don't want the water around the roots. They want air and fire ant mounds around the roots. So other than having the water, I don't know that they cause any other real problems.
But okay.
If you feel like you got to get rid of them somehow, there's not. I don't know of any insecticides that are recommended for strawberries that are safe unless you go with something organic. I would look at something called pyrethrin. Pyrethrin is pretty effective against insects. It has very low. It's not a problem to mammals, but the pyrethrin is something that's pretty effective that may be safe on strawberries. You'd have to read the label or shoot me an email.
Okay.
Okay. What was the other one?
So in this little warm spell we had before it got so cold, I was out in my orchard checking my peach trees.
Uh-huh.
And one of my trees I noticed had some of the sap coming out like from the lesser peach tree borer larvae, you know, up in the branches.
Yeah.
And, they were real small. And so I kind of stuck a paper clip in the holes hoping I would, you know, stab them. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know if maybe this chill that we had would have killed them should I go ahead and spray something now?
Well, the peach tree borer is a problem all the way up in Tennessee. I mean, it's and they go around under the bark. They're not just straight in there. So unfortunately, sprays don't penetrate either. The sprays for borers are preventative. They're not, once it gets in a tree, I don't think there's much you can do about it. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the reasons why peaches and plums are, even though they're real popular, they're not on my first round list of recommended plants because they have problems with our climate and our weather and our insect and disease. I don't think that the sprays will help that much, but it can't hurt if you want to get something for the peach borers.
Would now be the time to do it, or would it?
Well,
be
no, the time to do it is before, you know, is sure. As a preventative. That's what commercial grower spray is, a preventative. Once it get in, I don't think it's going to penetrate, do much good. So, you know, beyond this, I'm just guessing. But it's another one of those unhappy things.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Okay. I really want to talk to somebody who's got something cheerful to talk about, but let's take a break. because I'm cheerful. Wait till you hear this cheesy music I chose for today. So it's what I walk to, and it takes a little while to get into it. But, you know, if you're going to be out there for a little while, after a while, I sort of get into the rhythm. Hey, there's going to be a few other things going on around this area. This weekend, the Old Garden Rose Society here in Jackson is going to have a How to Grow Roses workshop. It's free. It's going to be at the Pearl Community Center. It's going to be on January the 27th from 2 to 4. 2 to 4 o'clock, January 27th, Pearl Community Center. Free. All about planting, fertilizing, pruning, propagating about these wonderful ever-blooming old shrub roses. If you've got something you'd like me to announce, shoot me an email, garden@mpbonline.org. I'm horticulturist Phil Rushing. Me and Jive are going to take a couple of deep breaths and come back with more right after this. Okay, folks, welcome back. Horticulture Phil Rushing. I came up with something positive to talk about on my own. I don't mind helping people with questions and problems in the garden. That's what I do. I'm a problem solver, and I'm not going to try to sell anything. I'm just trying to do what I would do, and sometimes I don't know what to do. I really don't. But anyway, I want to give a shout-out to the 600 living descendants of and the worldwide admirers of the poet Robert Burns. You know, he's a really well-known old poet from Scotland. Anyway, tonight is traditional Burns Night in Scotland. Every year since he died back in the 1700s, people get together. They read some of his poems. They eat haggies and neeps and tatties. I don't even want to tell you what haggies are, but neeps and tatties are turnips and mashed potatoes. And they end up singing his famous song, Auld Lang Syne. So happy Burns Night, folks. Also, this week I helped my friend Jesse Yancey, he's a guerrilla gardener. He's taken over a corner in town, not his corner, but he's taken over a corner, planted vegetables and flowers and herbs and all bulbs and all sorts of stuff. And he's sort of like a local cult hero, I guess. But I helped him haul some dirt because he's starting in a new project. And while we were on the way, we saw this tree called a citrumello. It's a hardy grapefruit, lemon-looking grapefruit type thing. And anyway, the fruits were all on the ground, so we harvested them real quick. But while we were at the garden center, we went to Hutto's to get the dirt because they let us pile it up in big trash cans in the back of my truck. They were, okay, Java, you're going to think this is strange, but, you know, I like to get dirty a little bit. But they were taking big bags of butter bean seeds, and they're putting them in smaller bags for individual gardeners. And they had this big thing of butter beans, and I went up, I just ran my hands through it, you know, like just dry, slick, cool butter bean seeds. And I was just sort of saying, this is great. And somebody said, Felder's fondling the butter beans. And I'm thinking, maybe if people go to Hutto's and buy butter beans, these have had the special touch.
That's why you should always wash your beans.
Fondling butter beans, these have had the special touch. And one of the sales clerks said, maybe people come in saying, we want the ones Felder didn't fondle. I don't know. Anyway, let's go. Let's talk to Alan calling from, where are you calling from, Alan? Hello?
Hernando.
Oh, Hernando. There, I see it now. They had this thing right at my bifocal line. Anyway, what's going on? I was just up through there last week on my way to visit some folks at the Botanic Garden in Memphis. What's going on in Hernando?
Well, I've had some roses for a number of years that we have on trellises, and I honestly don't know anything about growing roses, raising roses. I know they need to be pruned occasionally. How often should they be pruned and when?
Okay, those are good questions, but I got one. First of all, digging a hole, putting it in green side up, and watering it through the first summer, those are the biggies. You know, okay. And you've already got that down. If you can also pull any grass or weeds from around the base of it and cover it up with leaves or bark mulch or something, that's better. Kind of protect the trunks. But other than that, little fertilizer, scant handful of fertilizer every year or two. That's about all they really need. As far as pruning, though, I got to ask you this. Are these climbing roses up on the arbor, or are they just bush-type roses?
They're climbing.
Okay. With most roses are pruned pretty hard, down to about a foot, foot and a half, 2 feet tall in the wintertime. Climbers, what you do is you want to prune them after they finish blooming in the spring.
Okay.
But and what you do then is the parts that are reaching out and snagging your hat or they're grabbing, you know, somebody's skirt, or they're just in the way, cut those off, follow them back to where they started and cut them off there. And if you got parts that are really cluttered and thick and you just feel like there's just too much out there, just whack away at it. Leave a few that are up there and cut the ones that are bothering. It's like plucking eyebrows. Leave the ones you want and get rid of the ones that are between your eyes. You know what I'm saying?
I understand that, yeah.
But I would do the climbers. If you want to thin them out a little bit now while you can see what you're doing, you know, just be sure to leave enough on there to bloom the spring. But other than that, it's just a matter of thinning out the stuff you don't want without cutting off all the spring blooms.
Okay. All right. That sounds simple enough.
I got to tell you this. Simple as it sounds, that's really all. You're an expert now. That's all you need to know. Think plucking eyebrows and fertilize them every now and then, and you're in good shape.
All right. Well, thank you.
You bet, Alan. Thanks. Okay. Let me see. There is something else that was going on. I did plant, I pruned my fig. It's a little bit early, but I went ahead and planted a fig last year, and had three stems that are about waist high, I guess, a little bit, maybe chest high. I cut them all three back to about a foot and a half tall. Even though they had little buds on the top of it, I cut them back because what I want them to do instead of three big, long, tall things, I cut them down so where those three that are left are going to be sturdy trunks, and then they will bush out, and those will be sturdy limbs. And then next year I'll prune those, and I'm going to end up with a fig bush that I can reach instead of having to grab the rake and pull them over. What I'm going to do is let them sprout out this year, and then this time next year, I'm going to cut off those that are pointing inwards and only leave the ones that are growing up and out. In other words, I'm shaping my fig. If you've got a mature fig and it's getting too tall, you can cut it to the ground. It'll sprout back out, but it won't have figs this year. You need to leave some of last year's growth. So what I would do is grab the end of a branch of a fig, follow it back to where it started growing a year ago, and leave some of that. You can cut it back to 2-3 feet long, whatever. Leave some of last year's growth, and what sprouts off of that will have figs this year. Now, let's talk with Barbara, who's calling from, looks like Mobile. Is that Mobile?
Yes, sir. It's Mobile.
Hey, what's up?
First, I want to tell you something glorious. You sounded like you needed it.
Thank you. That's all you need. Thank you. What you got?
I've got an invitation to come to the Mobile Botanical Gardens. The winter garden is in full bloom with all those glorious, what's his name, that planted all our beautiful camellias. Sawada? Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Sawada
yeah,
camellias.
Yeah.
Yeah, come see him. Everybody come see him.
It's a perfect time. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize winter gardening can be gorgeous if you plan for it. You know, this time of year, you go around Mobile, the flowering quints are in bloom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can take flowering quints and paper whites and camellias and nandinas and create a garden deliberately to be at its peak this time of year.
It's beautiful.
Do you work there? Are you a volunteer at the garden? You work there or what?
I go out there at least every Friday and draw with a group of botanical artists.
Okay. Well, you may have heard about that they're going to have a thing in February the 18th called Football and Flowers. You know about that?
Yes, I heard about that. I don't have the details.
Well, I've heard this guy numbers. It's a Vince Dooley. He's a legendary Georgia football coach, Vince Dooley. He's a native of Mobile.
Yes, he is.
And he is just you want to hug him. He's such a lovable old gardener. He's going to come down and regale folks about his garden. It's going to be a Monday, February the 18th at the Botanical Garden. The cost is $40, and they need reservations because it's going to be a pack thing. But
yeah. Didn't realize he was a gardener.
He has a huge garden.
Wonderful poinsettia plants I have. I want them. I've gotten them to grow through the year, but I can't get them to bloom. I've heard that's impossible to do.
No. Where I have my brochures that are printed up in Jackson is just an office here in Jackson. And there's blooms every year in the office because of one simple thing. These are in pots, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is sometime this spring, if you'll cut them back, you can treat it just like a bush. They'll make a small tree. If you cut them back, they'll spread out new growth and be more compact. Mm-hmm. But sometime this fall, September sometime, if you'll get a cardboard box that's big enough to fit over it, If you'll just set it over it every evening, you know, late in the afternoon, and leave it on till the next morning, if they get 13 or 14 hours of total continuous darkness every night, that triggers them to start blooming.
Okay. But I knew there was something about the darkness and that we didn't have enough of it or something like that.
Yeah, this office is an area where they don't have security lighting on that side, so, you know, they naturally gets dark. But now here's the deal. The stuff that's on it won't turn red. The new growth does. So what growers do is in the late summer, sometime in August, they'll cut them back a little bit, and then they start giving this treatment, so the new growth that comes out red is still compact.
Okay.
It's really not hard. Just you got to prune them back and then trick them to think nighttime longer than daytime. And when that new growth starts coming out, you can throw the box away or let the kids play in it or whatever.
Okay. I've seen them in New Orleans, as tall as houses.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've camped under them in Mexico. Well, they're native to Mexico, but you got to keep it reasonable here.
Yeah. My yard's not very big at all.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the tip about the camellias.
Okay, yeah. Come see them.
All right. Thank you so much.
Righty.
Okay. Before we take any we got a couple of lines open. If you want to give us a call, it's toll free 1-877-MPB-RING. If there's some things you want to kick around, that'd be fun. But let's spend a couple of minutes. I want you to hear what it is with this old guy, What I Walk To.
If only it was so simple.
Now, that was a tune. And it could have been worse, though. Had a loyal listener who wanted me to play a tune called Fred Vom Jupiter. Because in the video, this guy's face was painted green. And she said, that's gardening, eh? No, it's not. Hey, folks, you want to give us a call? It's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. 877-MPB-RING. I play these kind of tunes, just kind of break things up a little bit, get us in a different mood and sort of fresh start and all. We're going to start off up in Ripley talking with Michael. Hey, Michael, what's going on? You cold enough last night?
Oh, my goodness.
It was chilly. Yeah, what's up?
I'm from South Florida originally, and this doesn't work for me, and God bless the people that deal with the cold. I was talking to my dad last night regarding people that live in the far north, you know, Maine and things like that, and the Dakotas, and God bless them. And I feel like it's much harder to live in cold weather versus living in warm or hot weather.
Well, you know, I just spent a little over a week touring Botanical Garden down in South Florida. Matter of fact, I stayed in a place called Redland, if you know where that is.
Well, I'm from Clearwater.
Okay. Yeah. But visit all this kind of stuff. But, you know, in the summertime, there's a lot of people who can't take that there, so they move back and forth. You know, that's a snowbird effect. So
Totally understand. The reason for my call was that I'm not a gardener at all. Don't carry any interest towards it. However, you have such a passion for it.
I'm a nut for it.
And your information, and I do like to listen to MPB Radio all the time. You guys are great with everything you do.
Wow.
And it's just a beautiful thing. And the passion that you speak with it about drew me to this call just to tell you thank you.
Wow, thank you. That's terrific, Michael. Hey, let me ask you this, you know, and I appreciate that a whole lot. All of us here at MPB trying to, you know, blah, 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 you know, trying to be cheerful and all that. But how's your dad doing? He's gone?
He's alive. He's got several spinal problems.
You get down to see him much?
No, I can't, actually. Life has been very difficult recently up here in Mississippi.
I understand. Well, if you get a chance, tell him that we're sending bouquets of flowers to him that only grow in Ripley, Mississippi. Like, you know, there's so many things that grow there that won't grow in Florida and vice versa. So, but it's all the same. It's all good vibes about growing stuff that we love that makes us feel better. It's you know about the four flavors, sweet, sour, salty, and bitter?
Yes, sir.
Have you heard of umami?
No.
Okay, umami, U-M-A-M-I, umami. It's the fifth one, sweet, sour, salt, bitter, and savory. You know, that's what mushrooms don't, they're not sweet, sour, salt, or bitter, they're savory. Umami, and that's what gardening is for life. It's the umami of life. Tell your dad that.
Oh, wow, that's new information. I love learning new facts, and, you know, I'm kind of a fat guy myself when somebody tells me that, you know, if anybody ever, all my friends know that if they're ever on Cash Cab, to give me a call.
Well, go Google umami and big old smile. That's the reason we call this Think Radio, my friend.
Man, I love it. And your voice is so soothing, and your passion towards these plants and your information and your knowledge and everything is actually inspiring. I don't plan on being a gardener just because of your voice and what you say, but
I appreciate it. Hey,
you soothe people.
Okay, we're going to move on to another call. Michael, think about growing some fungus and a cup of coffee. That's a start. Okay, we appreciate that so much, folks. If you want to give us a call, it's toll free 1-877-MPB-RING. We've got some lines open. You want to give us a call and just chat about your garden, we really appreciate that. I do want to mention this, folks who are up in North Mississippi and the Tennessee and Eastern North Louisiana area, or Arkansas area. There's going to be a winter plant walk with Dale Skaggs. Dale's an old friend of mine. He's the head horticulturist, the horticulture director, actually, and landscape architect at Dixon Gallery, Art Gallery and Gardens. It's across the street from the Botanical Garden in Memphis. It's got one of the most interesting, colorful, well-laid-out woodland gardens with all sorts of interesting stuff. Anyway, Dale's going to be leading a walk, plant walk. He's going to highlight more than a dozen different plants that are blooming this time of year, witch hazels, camellias, mahonias, so much more. Coffee and snacks and all like that, but it's free. That's going to be March the 2nd. It's coming up a little while from now, March the 2nd. 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. So, anyway, hope you enjoy that. If you want to give us a call, 877-MPB-RING. That's right. I want to throw out one other thing. This past week, I also pruned my roses a little bit early. Most people wait till February, but I went ahead and pruned mine because I wanted to make some cuttings. And Java, you know, I brought that stick in over there, that little stick thing. And,
yeah.
And you said, what is it? I said, what do you think? You said, it's a rose. But
yeah, was I correct?
Yes. Would you describe it to us, though, as a non-gardener?
It's a rose, what, stem?
Yeah.
The thorns are picked off of it?
Because I carried it. So about how big is it, would you say?
A little longer than a pencil.
Yep, and a sort of almost as big around?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, see, I say that all the time, but it's good to have someone else say it. Sort of like a pencil. Well, I cut my roses this week, and I cut off pieces about that big and just stuck them in some dirt. And they're going to grow roses. That's all it takes. But, you know, when I say it's about like a pencil, people say, yeah, whatever. No, it's about like a pencil. A little bit smaller. Not much bigger, but somewhere around in there. If you take cuttings, not that skinny stuff at the end or the big, thick stuff as big as your thumb, but stuff about the size of a pencil, and stick them bottom side up. You know, remember which end is up and which end is down. Stick them in some dirt. Over the springtime, they'll root, they'll sprout out, and you'll have your own roses. That's all it is to it. Now, let's go to Jerome. Jerome is calling from... I can't tell where.
Corinth.
Jerome, we're getting calls from way up north today. What's up?
Okay, about 2 months ago, a friend of mine had a plum thicket, and they bulldozed it over. All right, now the saplings are coming back.
You know everywhere. Yeah, coming up everywhere.
All right, now, what time of year? Is it the right time, man, to dig them up and replant them somewhere?
This is the perfect time. January, February, while there's, you know, it's kind of cold out there. But if you move the little ones and put them to a new place, here's the thing, Jerome. When you replant them, notice when you pull one out of the ground, you can sort of see how the color changes from the part above the ground to where the roots start, that little about an inch or so area. You want to put them at that same level. In other words, don't plant them at the same level that they're already growing.
Okay, and, it's way up here, and it's right now. Yeah, I can't go get them.
Yeah, but and get this: when you move them, if they're more than about 3 feet tall, 2.5-3 feet tall, cut them back a little bit, because what that'll do is they'll make them branch out this year, and they'll have stronger limbs. They'll be more of a plum bush, a lot easier to pick
right,
later.
Right.
So when you remove them, cut them back.
How far apart should I put them, about 5 feet, 6 feet?
Well, if you want a hedge, but if you want, you know, just trees, these are plum trees, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know, if you want to be able to mow around them, you know, I'd give them at least, you know, 10 or 12 feet. But, you know, you could plant them 5 or 6 feet apart and trim them like a hedge if you have a plum hedge. You don't have to put them where they all stand out there like nursery plants.
Okay.
But I wouldn't put them in closer than 3 or 4 feet because they're going to crowd each other too much.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Have fun with it. Appreciate your call, man, and stay warm. All right. And let's go to now. This next caller is on the road. His name is Bob. Right, Bob?
Hey, Felder. Yeah. Good morning to you, sir.
Howdy.
How are you doing?
Great. What a great voice. Radio voice.
Oh, thank you, Felder. I appreciate it. I've done a little radio over the years. But I also attempt to grow banana plants in our courtyard in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Every year, I don't know if you recall, I call you because I can't remember what you tell me.
And there's some stuff I wish I couldn't remember.
That had to do with
New Orleans, I might add.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well.
Anyway, back to the bananas.
Well, we've got a forest of them in the courtyard, and they're beautiful, except this time of the year when they get real yellow and they die out.
Right.
And I cannot remember how low to cut them and when to cut them.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. In, you know, where they grow naturally, you know, they don't get cut down by cold. You know, they're suffering right now because it's cold. They don't like cold.
Right.
But they'll live through it. To make, does yours ever make bananas?
Yeah, but they're tiny little things.
Yeah, different. Yeah, different variety. A lot of different varieties there. They need a head start. They need, you know, more than a year from when they sprout out from the ground to where they make bananas. So if you want to cut them back right now to neaten them up, as long as you leave some stumps uncut, then those will have enough head start to put out new growth in the spring and flower later, whether they have bananas or not. So the main thing is just cut out the nasty stuff, the tall stuff, and they'll sprout. You know, they'll keep growing, you know, from that, the part that's left, and they'll sprout out from the base. So mostly it's just, you know, cutting off the stuff that's tall and nasty and thinning out any clutter and letting them go.
Okay.
Strings.
How low do you cut them? What do you want, 3 feet or?
Yeah, at least 3 feet. You know, you can get away with, you know, down along the Gulf Coast, you can leave them taller if you want to. But, you know, up north, they get killed to the ground to sprout back out, you know. But 2 or 3 or 4 feet, whatever you feel like. Cut them, the ones up against the back ones, leave them a little bit taller. The front ones maybe a little bit lower.
Oh, there. You told me about that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One other thing. It's New Orleans, man. Put some lights on them.
Okay.
You know,
at night, you mean?
Yeah,
night?
It's New Orleans. Throw some bees, put some lights on them, enjoy them.
Oh, I do. Yeah,
okay.
I just don't leave the lights on all the time.
Well, no, okay. Turn them on. There you go.
Idea.
Woohoo!
Okay.
As we say, let the good times roll.
There you go.
See you, man.
Thank you, Felder. Love the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. All righty, folks, give us a call, 1-877-MPB-RING. We got time to talk to all sorts of folks about gardening. 1-877-MPB-RING. The rose that I rooted is an old-fashioned one that's called Mutabilis. Mutabilis are the butterfly rose. It will grow from the equator up into Canada. Butterfly rose, Mutabilis, blooms all the time. Big flat flowers that change colors. They mutate, and from rose to pink to yellow to orange. I planted it on my old dog's grave. I call it Rusty's Rose, and I cut it back hard. I rooted a whole bunch, and who knows, we may be able to have some to share a little bit later. But that's what it's all about. We don't know it all. Sometimes we don't know it all. Sometimes we want to forget some of it. But I'm here to help you get the most out of your garden in whichever way that goes. We're going to take a real quick break and come back. Got some lines open. You know, give us a call. We'll be right back.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulturist Felder Rushing. Hey, Java, let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
You know, right before Christmas, I gave you that paper white bulb.
Yes, and they are long.
but they're blooming, though.
Yes, sir, they are. Right in front of the kitchen sink.
Just in water. How tall would you say they are?
I want to say...
About that big?
I know at least well over a foot.
Yep.
Over a foot.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. About that big, right? That's radio talk for about that big.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Well, I brought one in this morning. And I've got a little mason jar with some bar grow bees in there. And see how little the roots are? They're real short little roots.
Yeah, I think I kind of messed up when I got those decorative rocks.
Why is that?
Because the roots are just going every which way.
No, that's what they do. The rocks are what hold, you know, the roots tangling there is what keeps them flopping over. But mine's got little bee roots. But notice that mine's got 2 or 3 flower buds. And I want you to take this one home, by the way. I brought it for you. But notice that it's only about 6 or 8 inches tall. And it looks good. It's healthy. It's got little roots. Got short. It's about to bloom. Nice and compact and small. Well, you can't smell it because I poured it out. But it had alcohol in the water. Put a little alcohol in the water. About 1 part alcohol to 10 parts water. And they bloom at the same time. Flowers could be cool. But it's only going to be about 6 or 8 inches tall.
Yeah, we might try that because they are getting long.
Oh, it's too late for yours. You got to start. You got to start them out like this. You got to start bulbs early on their alcohol.
They wouldn't shrink. They wouldn't shrink up.
No. You got to get them started early on the alcohol.
Okay.
You can put your bulbs on the liquor. Start early. Anyway, let's go. Let's talk to. It looks like is it Dedrick in Columbus? Diedrich? Diedrich. Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Felder. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Hey, I got a two-part question. I live in Columbus, and I have a house that I removed some hedge bushes around because they were growing all kind of crappy-looking, little stunted-looking trees.
Yeah.
And now what I want to do is replace them with some, you know, some hedge bushes that'll, you know, grow to be at least 4 to 5 feet tall. And I want to know, when is the proper time to plant hedge bushes, in particular the ones, you know, that are some, and I should say part of the trees will be in shade and part of them won't. They won't be in shade all day.
Yeah, yeah.
So just depending on, you know, how the sun is moving around. But I want to know when would be the proper time to plant a shrubbery around the house, and a good recommendation on what kind of shrubbery to plant around the house.
Okay, and you want it to be about 4 feet tall?
Yeah, I want to get about 4 or 5 feet tall, yeah.
Yeah, and you don't want to do a whole lot of pruning all the time, or do you mind doing that?
I don't want to do a lot of pruning.
You know, it can be therapeutic. You know, sometimes you get stuff on your mind, going out there and whacking on the bushes can help a lot, especially if you're a Saints fan, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But here, there's two answers to this. The first answer is the best time to, you can plant something that's in a pot any day of the year. But you really need to sort of loosen up the potting soil and roots to kind of booger them up a little bit, and that's rougher to plant in the middle of the summer. So the plants that are set out in the wintertime, this time of year or spring, they have a chance to get sort of established a little bit, kind of grow a new roots before it gets too hot in the summer. You don't have to water them as much the first summer, but as long as you can loosen up the roots and water them, you know, every couple of 3 weeks through the first summer, you know, you can do it just about any time. The other thing is hard to dig a hole in the summer. Right now, the dirt's pretty soft.
Oh, yeah, we've been getting a lot of rain up here.
Yeah. Well, what you want to do is the second answer, my answer is, to best time is any time you can dig a good hole, because it don't matter what kind of bush you put in. If you don't dig a good hole, it's going to suffer the rest of its life. So you need to be able to dig a wide hole. Add just a little stuff to it. Think a handful of crackers and a bowl of chili. You got the proportion down. If you'll dig up your dirt nice and wide, throw a little stuff in, mix it in, loosen up the roots of plants, you can do that just about any time.
Okay.
Now, there's a whole bunch of good choices, and you got it. Could you email me and let me send you a list of 4 or 5 really good ones?
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to throw them out, you know, on the air, and, you know, I can't even spell some of them, you know, without writing them down. But if you'll shoot me an email, I'll send you 4 or 5 really good ones that grow great, not gonna make you prune the rest of your life.
What's the email address to send it to?
Yeah, it's garden@mpbonline.org. Garden@mpbonline.org. I hate to say it, Diedrich, we got the scoop. We're trying to work in one more call. But anyway, shoot me an email anytime. Now let's go to Flowood and talk with Nick. Hey, Nick, what's up with your high geraniums?
Well, I'm wanting to plant some limelight hydrangeas in like the northeast corner of our house that's pretty shaded. I wanted to know if that would work. And if so, how to – it seems like a lot – more of the hydrangeas around here have that blue and pink and purpley hue.
Limelight won't do that. Limelight won't do that. No, limelight doesn't do that. Limelight stays that kind of white color. It's only certain ones that turn blue or purple depending on whether the soil is acid or alkaline. See, so don't worry about that with the lime. If you want it to be blue or purple, limelight ain't your choice.
No, I want it to be limelight.
Okay. Here's the deal. If you've got shade that tells me that, well, first of all, they do better when they get a little sun. They don't really like brawling hot sun here in the deep south, but if they get, you know, pretty good light, they'll do okay. But if you got shade, that means there's a lot of roots in the area. You need to do an extra good job of digging the soil to get them off, because hydrangeas don't compete well with tree roots. And we're talking about a hole that's at least 3 feet across, maybe a little bit more, and at least a foot deep in the middle. Really, really work the dirt up. Add just a little stuff to your native dirt, some compost or bark or something, a little bit, so that they can grow roots quickly, straight out. The quicker they can grow roots straight out, the better this plant's going to be. And then be sure you loosen the roots in the potting soil when you set it out. That's what it's going to take. Good roots are going to determine whether that thing's going to grow well or not there. Plain and simple.
All right. And you said putting bark in the soil?
Yeah. You know, I say this all the time, crackers and chili. A handful of crackers to a bowl of chili, that's about how much bark you want to add to your dirt.
You know,
but dig it good and deep, a good foot deep in the middle and at least 3 feet across, and stir that up really good, then add the bark to it, then plant it after loosening the roots.
Perfect.
That's a start, man. Good luck on it.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Appreciate it. That was Nick from Flowood talking about hydrangeas. I was raised to call them hydraniums. All sorts of stuff blooming right now. Java, there's so many things going on right now. Even though it's the wintertime here in the South, we can do that sort of thing. There's a lot of events coming up. If you'd like me to help promote them, shoot me an email, garden@mpbonline.org. If there's anything you'd like to chat about during the week, garden@mpbonline.org. What we do is we talk about gardening. You know, we don't sell anything. We don't try to promote a particular approach. Matter of fact, if you want to have a winter meadow, I can help you. You want to have a weed-free lawn? I can help you. Doesn't really matter to me. Well, it's your yard. As my Aunt Mamie used to say, them as can grow, will grow. And I'm glad to have had a chance to help you do some of that yourself. It's Talk Garden, a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. We call it Think Radio. My producer is the laid-back but hard-working Java Chapman. Phone greeter today is the esteemed Kevin Farrell. I've been your host, Felder Rushing, and I'm going to be thinking of y'all all day long, this sunny winter day, as I get about my little garden. Main thing is keep telling kids, even if they're not your kids, to go outside. Don't come until supper. Better yet, take a kid to a garden center or to a farmer's market and see if you can find an opportunity to show others what we do best, and that's get dirty. Y'all stay warm and dry. See y'all next week.
Support for the Gestalt Gardener comes from Atmos Energy, with a reminder to call 811 before starting to dig to get underground utility-owned lines located and marked. It's free, it's safe, and it's the law.